Amberley?
Bishop to Queen's Rook 5.
Knight to King's Knight 3.
Oh. Superb.
Thank you.
I've forgotten what it's like to think that fast. You should have known me in my youth.
Take as long as you need. Excuse me, Amberley.
There's really no need. She's perfectly capable of managing by herself.
Why, thank you, Doctor.
My pleasure, Mrs. Amberley. My word, you've done us proud.
How's the game going?
The Doctor is winning.
Indeed.
But I have a surprise or two he's not expecting. Ernest, you'll excuse me for a moment.
Of course.
Caroline? A word with you, please. Outside. Have you taken leave of your senses, woman? Were my instructions not sufficiently clear?
Josiah, I will not serve leftover scraps to a guest in my house.
My house? I'll thank you not to forget the fact.
I assure you there's very little possibility of that.
How much did all that food cost?
This is ridiculous.
Tell me.
He's your friend, though God alone knows why.
How dare you take the Lord's name in vain?
Josiah, I am going back in there, and I'm going to pour the coffee and serve the supper. You may do whatever you wish. It's got to be soon.
It will be. Shh, shh, shh.
Now then, where were we?
Ah, yes. Bishop threatens knight.
Ah.
What's your answer to that, then, eh?
Knight takes queen.
The Retired Colourman by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatised for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring George Cole as Josiah Amberley. The Retired Colourman.
Good. Excellent. You're quite sure of your facts, Sherlock.
Mycroft, if I were content to supply you with unchecked facts, I would have done so rather sooner than this. I've spent 3.5 weeks investigating this case. 3.5 singularly unpleasant weeks.
It's hardly my fault if you decide that the best way to do the job was dressed up as an Egyptian beggar with a repulsive skin complaint and lice.
It was the only way.
Nonsense. You were simply indulging your unseemly taste for the melodramatic. Something I've been waiting for you to grow out of for the past 40 years or so.
Well, if you disapprove of my methods, why did you engage me?
After that tiresome business of the French jewels, the cabinet wouldn't hear of anyone else.
Despite your best endeavours.
There are times when even I have to bow to the wishes of the Prime Minister.
Few and far between, though they may be.
When do you expect to close the case?
Tomorrow. Wednesday, at the latest.
Excellent. Do you know yet where the hostages are being held?
I do.
Ah. Somewhere in the vicinity of Southwark, would it be?
It would.
No great distance from the home of the ex-president's former mistress, possibly.
Would you care to hazard a guess as to what they were given for breakfast?
Oh, my dear.
Mycroft, if you knew where these wretched monks were, why the devil have I been wasting my time for the past month?
3.5 weeks.
Answer the question.
You've been getting your hands dirty. You know how much you enjoy it.
Mycroft.
Where they were was obvious from the first. But we couldn't just go blundering in. We needed names, times, dates, evidence. We needed you.
Any competent investigator could have done it. Surely His Majesty's government has access to at least one.
Don't be flippant, Sherlock. And spare me the false modesty. It doesn't become you.
There's nothing false about it.
If, and I emphasize the if, someone else could have done as good a job, then you have yourself to thank.
Would you care to explain that?
I see no reason why I should, since you know perfectly well what I mean. Your example has been followed. Your methods, your innovations, have revolutionized detection. As they will continue to do in the future, Sherlock.
How long have you known?
Long enough.
Would you mind telling me how you know?
You're the one who put it in print that my powers are far greater than yours.
Oh, please, please, that was Watson.
Reporting your words.
Don't change the subject. How do you know?
It's not important. Sherlock...
Mycroft, I have no fondness for being lectured.
Yes, you never could stomach a taste of your own medicine. This is not a lecture. It's a small piece of brotherly advice. Are you paying attention?
Do I have any choice?
None whatsoever. I understand your reasoning. It's incorrect. I perceive your attitude. It's arrogant and ill-founded, and unlike you, so it seems I appreciate your worth, which is incalculable.
Mycroft, thank you, but...
But as usual, my advice is falling on deaf ears. Good luck to you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
With the case.
Of course.
Doctor! Good morning to you.
Peterson, good morning. Just like summer.
Oh, better. Hottest September I can remember.
Well, long may it last. How's the family?
Oh, fit and well, thank you, Doctor. Fit and well. We missed you around these parts.
I have been rather tied up with things.
Of course you have. And how is the good lady?
Dr. Watson.
Good morning, Mrs. Hudson. You'll excuse me, Peterson.
Oh, of course, sir. Good day to you. Ma'am, lovely morning.
It is, Mr. Peterson. Come inside, Doctor. Come inside.
How are you, Mrs. Hudson?
Oh, you know me, Doctor. I don't have time to be ill. Now, let me look at you. You've lost some weight.
A little.
I hope you're eating properly.
I can't say I don't miss your cooking.
Yes, I thought as much.
It's supposed to be good for me.
What? Starvation?
Healthy eating. I find myself checking my ears every morning to see if I'd turn into a rabbit.
What nonsense. Oh, begging your pardon, sir.
No apology necessary, Mrs. Hudson. Is he in?
He is, and he'll be delighted to see you.
I hope so.
But he's got someone with him just at the present.
A client?
Yes, one of those hopeless cases the Yard sends us, you know the type.
Oh, anything interesting, do you think?
Well, that's not for me to say, Doctor.
Oh, come on now.
I don't think so, no. He didn't have any of the usual signs.
Mrs. Hudson, I swear that you would have made a first-class detective yourself.
What do you mean, would have? Don't you think that taking care of Mr. Holmes all these years called for observation and deduction and all the rest of it?
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Depend on it. Anyway, where are my manners keeping you standing out here? Come through, Doctor. There's some fruitcake not long out of the oven.
Oh, Mrs. Hudson, you're a marvel.
Yes, I know. Now, come on with you.
Rest assured, Mr. Amberley, your case will be in good hands.
I hope so, Mr. Holmes. I really do.
You'll excuse me if I don't come down. Mrs. Hudson! Mrs. Hudson!
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, there you are. Mr. Amberley is leaving. Call him a cab, would you?
Yes, sir.
No cab.
You don't want one?
No, thank you, madam. I do not.
If you'll pardon me saying so, it's too hot to walk any distance.
I walked here from Waterloo, sir. I can walk back.
I am a doctor, Mr. Amberley.
My health is a matter of no interest to me, sir. Not any more.
Take care, Mr. Amberley.
Good day, madam.
You see what I mean, Doctor.
What a wretched creature. I wonder what his problem is.
I think you're about to find out.
Watson, why are you still skulking away down there? Come up!
You see?
What did you think of him?
Good morning, Holmes. Good to see you
again.
Yes.
Your impressions?
The old fellow? Pathetic, broken.
Exactly. Isn't his story a microcosm of the whole?
I can hardly answer that without knowing what his story is.
You hit it exactly. Pathetic and futile, like all life.
Oh, come on.
We reach, we grasp, and what's left in our hands at the end? A shadow, or worse than a shadow, misery.
You know, you never used to be this affected by the state of your clients.
No. The client's incidental. He merely happened to appear at a time when I was feeling this way anyway.
I hope you were able to give him some degree of encouragement, poor man. What's his background?
His card's on the table. Have a look.
I see you haven't got any tidier since I left.
I've been sorting some things out.
Good Lord, what's the occasion? Ah, here we are. Looks as though he's used it about 100 times over. Josiah Amberley, Esquire, The Haven, Lewisham. Late of... Prince practically rubbed off. Late of...
Brickfall and Amberley.
Yeah. Now, why do I know that name?
You've seen it on paint boxes, Brickfall and Amberley, manufacturers of artistic materials.
Yes, of course. And that was Amberley. Not exactly colourful.
Perhaps not, but successful, nonetheless. I made some notes. Here's him.
Thank you. Retired in 1896, married in 1897.
Rather late in life. Perhaps you could compare experiences.
Holmes, that isn't funny.
Well, you do have one thing in common.
What?
An eye for a good-looking woman. And this is Mrs. Amberley.
Yes, indeed. She must be 20 years younger than him.
Almost exactly. Haven't lost your touch, I see.
Can we stick to the case, please?
By all means. So, he has a new wife, money, leisure. But within 2 years, he's become as miserable a creature as crawls under the sun.
So what happened?
Amberley has one hobby in life, chess. Well, not far from him lives another chess player, a young doctor.
How young?
Late 30s.
Huh?
Well, there's more. Dr. Ray Ernest had a standing invitation to play chess in the evening at the Amberleys. My luckless client actually described him as my only friend.
Now this friend and Amberley's wife...
gone off together, destination unknown.
Well, they were hardly likely to leave a forwarding address, were they?
Taking with them the old man's life savings.
Then it's a criminal matter.
A commonplace one.
So you refused the case?
No, actually, I accepted it.
Any particular reason?
When is the proprietorial Mrs. Watson expecting you? For lunch? Or long till later?
Mrs. Watson isn't actually expecting me at all.
Dear fellow, not some domestic unpleasantness.
Jean is staying with her sister, nursing her through a fever. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
You do the exact opposite. I'm fully occupied with the case of the two Coptic patriarchs.
You're making that up.
Certainly not. It comes to a head today.
And what are you going to do about the Amberley case?
The question is, what are you going to do about it?
Excuse me.
Damn.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'm looking for The Haven.
Are you indeed?
Do you know which house it is?
Over there. Broken gate.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I think the house would interest you, Holmes.
Oh?
Yes. At first glance, it's like a little island of culture and comfort, hidden away in the middle of those monotonous suburban streets.
Cut out the poetry, Watson.
It's an old house surrounded by a high brick wall.
Good. You said at first glance.
Well, the garden was all running to seed, and the house wasn't much better. Not a man for wasting money on frivolities, your client.
Yes? What do you want?
Good afternoon, Mr. Amberley. Dr. John Watson. We met this morning in Mr. Holmes's rooms.
Mr. Holmes sent you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I knew he wouldn't come himself.
I'm afraid he's extremely busy.
Attending on people as famous as himself, no doubt. And as wealthy.
I assure you that a client's finances make no difference.
Just as well, since I've lost everything I ever owned.
Mr. Holmes is far more interested in a client's case than his bank balance.
Art for art's sake, is it? Study of human nature?
Exactly.
Well, then, he might well have found something here to interest him. The black ingratitude of it. When did I ever refuse one of her requests? Was ever a woman so pampered? And that man, he might have been my own son. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
It's a dreadful world, Dr. Watson. A dreadful world.
That was the burden of his song. For an hour or more.
Give me your impression of his appearance.
Well, when I saw him this morning, I thought he was wasting away. I was wrong. His shoulders and chest are massive, like a giant.
Good.
But his body tapers almost to nothing. Possibly a childhood illness. The legs are spindled.
And the shoes are interesting. Left one wrinkled, right smooth.
Really?
I didn't notice that. What does it mean?
An artificial leg.
Then I should have noticed it, shouldn't I? Rather more in my line of business than yours.
Well, not necessarily. I could quote you at least a dozen cases where a false limb was central to a crime.
I don't doubt it for a moment.
The most interesting being Pierre Betteron, the Parisian dipper, lost his right arm in a railway accident and was 10 times the pickpocket afterwards than he ever was before.
Good Lord.
Arrested in the Louvre Museum in 1873. Why don't you get out of Amberley? Once you're inside the house.
One moment, Dr. Watson. Let me clear the way.
Let me help you.
No, that's not necessary, sir. Yeah. That's better.
I must apologise for the mess.
Oh, please don't. Decorating's always a disruption.
It's supposed to be a soothing colour, green. Restful to the soul. Do you believe it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I do.
Well, it doesn't work, sir. It doesn't work. In here, if you please.
You say the house was a mess?
And dingy, too. Depressing and old-fashioned.
Were any staff?
Only a daily woman. She's always gone by 6.
You know, this case gets more interesting by the minute.
It does?
Look at her. That woman swore to love, honour and obey me, sir, but I've seen precious little of those things. I suppose a promise made in church means nothing to such a person.
Mr. Amberley.
I never want to see her damn face again.
Tell me about the night she left.
Oh, the ingratitude. That's the hardest thing of all, the ingratitude. We were going to the theatre.
Which one?
The Haymarket. I bought seats in the upper circle.
You said you were going.
At the last moment, she refused. Complained of a headache.
Did you stay with her?
I went alone. No sense in wasting both tickets.
I suppose not.
I was going to speak to the theatre about a refund. This wretched business drove it to my mind.
What time did you get home? Mr. Amberley.
Where did I put it?
Mr. Amberley, please.
Ah. Look at that, sir. What a waste of time and effort. To think it was supposed to be a treat.
What time did you get home?
About midnight. And found my house plundered and my wife gone.
You sent for the police straight away?
For all the good it did.
Yeah. A man after your own heart.
Did you examine this ticket?
31, row B.
Excellent.
I know you like the details.
What else did he tell you?
He showed me where the cash box was kept.
Ah. His bedroom. His study.
Oh, no.
His strong room.
That's what he called it, and that's what it is.
Step inside, Doctor.
Thank you. Could you turn on the light?
One moment. There.
The room's about 6 feet square. Plain walls. Single gas light in the centre of the ceiling. An old box room, I think.
The door?
Iron. And so's the window shutter. There are locks on both.
The common key or 2 separate ones?
Separate. Both of them on Amberley's keychain at all times.
This room was locked when I left for the theatre.
Was the door forced?
Impossible. She must have copied my keys.
You found the door open?
And the window, sir.
And the window?
Yes. I thought that was curious.
Did they take the cash box or merely the contents?
I wouldn't advise you to use the word merely in your client's hearing.
Which was it, Watson?
They took the whole thing, sir. £7,000 worth of cash and securities.
Mr. Holmes will need details of the securities.
I've already given a list to the police.
A copy would be useful.
Oh, very well.
Here.
Thank you. Anything else?
Yes, there is. The strangest thing of all.
So naturally you leave it to the last. A scientific reasoner would have put the most important observation first.
If you wanted scientific reasoning, you should have gone yourself. Do you want to hear this?
Of course.
You remember the lounger I mentioned? The man I asked for directions?
Around 20, tall, dark, heavily moustached, pronounced Scottish accent, curtained unpleasant.
All right, so of course you remember.
Anyway, I drove back to Blackheath Station, and just as the train was pulling out, a man came running down the platform and jumped into the coach next to mine. It was the same man, I'd swear to it.
Did you see him again?
At London Bridge.
What happened?
He followed me.
Did he now?
Oh, yes. I let him keep me in sight for 10 minutes till I was quite certain. Then I lost him and came straight back here.
Excellent, Watson. He picked the wrong man. He's probably still cursing you and his own incompetence.
But why was he following me?
Yes, why indeed. Tall, dark man with grey tinted sunglasses.
I didn't say a word about his sunglasses.
You also neglected to mention his Masonic tie-pin.
My God. It was you. It was, wasn't it? In one of your damn disguises. You sent me off to investigate for you, but you don't trust me to do a decent job. Well, thank you very much.
It wasn't me.
Then who was he and why was he following me?
Attempting to follow you. Quite simple, but let's get down to practicalities. Oh, you missed some vital points.
What have I missed?
Oh, my dear fellow, don't be hurt.
What have I missed?
Everything of importance.
Oh,
Watson, Watson, no one else would have done better. Some possibly not so well.
If that was meant to be an apology.
It wasn't. Merely a simple statement of fact.
Just tell me what I failed to do.
You should have talked to the neighbours. What's their opinion of Amberley and of his wife? And you should have found out about this Dr. Ernest. Is he respected? Is he liked? What do his patients think of him?
And how exactly could I have found that out?
By using your natural advantages.
What are you talking about?
Charm, Doctor. Allure, fascination. No member of the fair sex can resist you.
That's a ludicrous generalization.
Yes, I can picture you whispering sweet nothings to the barmaid at the Blue Anchor and receiving hard somethings in return.
It can still be done.
True enough. Well, there's no hurry.
No hurry. Every hour they're getting further away.
No, I think we'll leave it there for the moment. Yeah, Karina sings Beethoven tonight at the Albert Hall. Still have time to dress, dine and enjoy it.
No, thank you.
Huh? Watson?
You know how complicated Beethoven is. I'd undoubtedly miss everything of importance. Good evening.
Damn. There you are. I should drink it quickly before it eats its way through the mug. Well, Mr. Holmes, this is a pleasant surprise. It's good to see you again.
And you, Lestrade. How are you?
How do I look? I'm worn out.
My dear child.
No, I mean it. These all-night observations. It's a young man's game.
Then why not assign a young man to it?
Well, you want a job doing well, there's only one way. Paid off, too, even if I do say it myself.
You got your man.
Men. Nasty little gang of extortionists.
Congratulations.
This is the beginning of the work, not the end.
I know it.
Paperwork, sorting out the evidence, talking to the lawyers. You don't know how lucky you are. Well, I should just about have time to see it through to court before I go.
Ah, yes, beginning of January, isn't it?
I didn't know you knew that. You've been up to your old tricks again, sending in the odd youngster off the street to spy for you.
No, the days of the Baker Street irregulars are long gone.
You've not been hanging around the place in some disguise or other.
No, another young man's game.
Ah, come on now. Well, there'll be a bit of a do when I leave. Well, not your sort of thing, I know, but if you feel like coming along...
I don't think so. You won't be offended.
Truth be told, I'd rather not go myself. I hate those things. When Toby Gregson left...
You found it awkward?
Yeah, him too, I think. I mean, what do you say? You can't just say goodbye like you're going off for the weekend.
No, you can't.
We had our ups and downs, of course. But he was a damn good friend. I hope he knows I think so. Well, not the sort of thing you can come straight out with, really.
Are you sorry to be retiring?
No. It's not the same anymore. Not like... Well, sorry to be unoriginal, but not like in the good old days.
A cliché worthy of the Strand magazine.
Yes, and don't think I'll ever live that down. Small, sallow and rat-faced indeed.
Oh, no, you can't blame me for that.
No, I suppose not. How is the good doctor?
Oh, happily ensconced in Queen Anne Street, master of all he surveys.
Grace and I enjoyed the wedding. Good of him to invite us. She's a fine-looking woman, the new Mrs. Watson.
Would you have expected anything less?
No, I suppose not. Mr. Holmes.
Lestrade.
You didn't call in to swap stories about Watson. What do you really want?
I was in the building.
I've seen the Commissioner about some hush-hush job, yes, I know. But social calls aren't your style. So?
Very good, Lestrade. Josiah Amberley.
Come in. Who's next, Mrs. Coover?
No more appointments till 12, Doctor, but a gentleman to see you, if you're free. His card.
Ask the gentleman to step in.
Yes, Doctor. Please go in, sir.
Good morning, Watson.
Holmes.
May I?
Of course.
Thank you. Impressive setup. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I see you number the junior minister for overseas trade among your patients.
Holmes, my patient list is highly confidential.
Well, the same can't be said for the ashtray in your waiting room.
Thank the Lord all my patients aren't like you.
Oh, my dear Watson, your health would never stand it. I've come to apologize.
I know you have.
No?
If you wanted my help again, you'd have sent a note.
Could have been too urgent for that.
Then you'd have telephoned. Or at the very least, not spent several minutes complimenting me on my consulting room and showing off your knowledge of handmade cigarette ends. I accept your apology, of course.
Thank you.
And I offer you one of my own. There was no need for me to fly off the handle like that. God knows I should be used to you by now.
Too used. Apology accepted.
Thank you. Now sit down, for goodness sake. You're giving me a pain in my neck. How was the concert?
I'm afraid the lady's somewhat past her best.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, every now and then there were glimpses of the old magic, but the fire had gone. Mm-hmm. She should have bowed out when she was still at her peak. Are you free to come round this afternoon?
I can be.
I've sent for Mr. Amberley.
So, it was Lestrade who sent him on to you?
Yes.
What was he doing handling such a minor case?
If I could explain the workings of Scotland Yard, I'd descend into my dotage a happy man.
Not yet, I hope. Happy or otherwise.
Oh, here.
Oh, thank you.
Another slice of cake?
Well, no, better not.
Just as you like. Anyway, friend Lestrade passed on the comments from Amberley's local force. Our client has the reputation of being a miser, as you picked up.
Oh, I wouldn't have gone so far as miser. I just said he was careful with his money.
Yes, he's also known as a harsh and exacting husband. According to Lestrade, the local man McKinnon was amazed that Mrs. Amberley hadn't taken herself off ages ago.
Oh, I must admit, he didn't strike me as being particularly prepossessing. Did you find out anything about this Dr. Ernest? Or do you still want me to turn on the charm with the local barmaid?
No, I think I can spare you that, after all.
Oh.
Our luckless client. This really is excellent cake. No. Everything confirms his story.
Did you have reason to doubt it?
Well, Ernest quite definitely played chess with Amberley and very probably played the fool with his wife. Good luck to the pair of them, was Lestrade's attitude.
Really? Well, what about the theft of the money?
Well, he didn't actually say it out loud. Well, yes, the money's a complication.
Mm. How successful is this, Dr. Ernest?
Oh, bravo, Watson. You dispel the fog and provide a clear view of the vital question. Successful enough not to need Amberley's little hoard, evidently. Oh, come in, Mrs. Hudson.
Mr. Amberley, gentlemen. Please go in, sir.
Thank you, madam.
Come in, Mr. Amberley. A slice of cake?
A what? No, sir. No, thank you. I've had a telegram, Mr. Holmes.
Indeed.
And I can make nothing of it. Here.
Now, the doctor does these things with rather more style.
May I, Mr. Amberley?
I suppose so.
I have important information concerning your recent loss. Come at once without fail. Elman the Vicarage. Dispatched at 2:10 today from Little Purlington.
Little Purlington. In Essex, I believe, not far from Frinton.
Frinton? What can someone in Frinton know of my affairs?
Well, he's evidently a responsible person. Vicar of the place. Yes, here we are. J. C. Elman, M. A., Mossmore Cum, Little Purlington. Good old Crockford. Never lets me down.
But it's perfectly absurd.
No. Clearly we've come to a crisis in the affair. Yes. Now, look up the trains, Watson. Here.
Oh, well caught. Mr. Holmes.
He wouldn't have telegraphed you if he didn't know something.
But what can he possibly know?
He must start at once.
A waste of time and money. But if you advise it, I suppose I must.
There's a train in 20 minutes.
Excellent.
You can go with him.
Third class. He insisted on travelling third class. Anything else would have been a criminal waste of cash.
Get to the point, Watson. What was this vital information held by the ecclesiastical gentleman?
The Reverend Geoffrey C. Elman has never heard of your client, his wife, or his missing cash box.
Never heard? Then why did he send the telegram?
He didn't send the telegram. He denied all knowledge of it. This wire, sir, is a scandalous forgery, the origin of which shall certainly be investigated by the police.
Remarkable!
Yes, that was Mr. Amberley's reaction. Except that he doesn't have your gift for brevity of expression. He'll probably still be going on about the waste of time and money all the way back to London tonight.
Ah.
Holmes.
I'm afraid there aren't any more trains tonight. I checked after your hasty departure. I seem to have unwittingly condemned you to the horrors of a country inn. Watson, look on the bright side.
The right side?
There's always nature. Nature and Josiah Amberley. You can be in close commune with both. Good night.
What were you doing in there?
Good evening, Parker.
Mr. Holmes?
Well done. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Well, I don't consider it good enough.
So you say.
After causing me to waste an entire day, he can't even be in his rooms when we call there. I suppose he's engaged on some more interesting case, eh?
If he were, Mr. Amberley, he'd hardly have left us instructions to meet him at your house. Now, would he?
Oh, I suppose not. You forgive me, Doctor. This business... Well, you understand.
Yes, Mr. Amberley, I understand.
Dr. Watson!
Whatever's the matter?
Why, how, sir? The front door's wide open. For pity's sake, don't tell me I've been robbed again.
Mr. Amberley, good morning. When'd you come in?
How dare you set foot in my house without my permission, sir? And who is this person?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, I think I'd like to hear the answer to that.
Watson, forgive me, you have met, I believe.
I don't think being followed by someone constitutes a formal introduction.
No, perhaps not. Gentlemen, allow me to introduce my friend and fellow practitioner, Mr. Rory Barker.
Mr. Amberley? Dr. Watson?
Barker's also been interesting himself in your business, Mr. Amberley.
Not by my leave, he hasn't. Is this your doing, Holmes?
No, we've been working independently.
But we do both have the same question to ask you.
Yes, indeed.
What is the question?
What did you do with the bodies?
Ah!
Stop him, Watson! Let me go! No! Oh, no, my friend. Get his other arm, Barker!
Watson!
All right. You can let me free. It was the shock, that's all. The shock.
Are you all right, Watson?
More or less, thank you.
Excellent. Now, be so good as to close the door and make sure it doesn't get away, would you? Very good.
Oh, how dare you, sir. You have the insolence to accuse me of some crime.
I do.
And you attack me like a common ruffian. Oh, in my state of health.
Watson.
Nothing wrong with his health that I know of.
Fools!
No shortcuts! Spit it out, I say!
Got it. Doctor?
I don't know. Could be cyanide.
As good as a confession. Damn you. Damn you all.
You're sure that he can handle him on his own?
Oh, Barker's quite capable of subduing him, if need be.
Yes, I noticed that arm lock. Britsu, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I wonder where he could have learned Japanese wrestling.
From an expert.
Yes, I thought so. I didn't know you'd been taking pupils.
I've passed on a few things here and there.
Are you going to tell me where Barker fits into all this now?
Well, as I said, he's a private detective. Several good cases to his credit. He was retained by Dr. Ernest's family when he disappeared.
He's been watching the house?
Taking a keen interest in any visitors, including yourself. And me too, in the early hours of this morning.
So that's what all that ridiculous business in Little Purlington was about. Couldn't you have found some other way?
I needed to be absolutely certain that Amberley wouldn't be here. My apologies.
So I can put up with a bit of discomfort in a good cause. You know, I still haven't taken it in. Amberley murdered them both. His wife and her lover.
Oh, yes.
But what on earth put you onto it?
Close the door.
All right.
Now, what do you notice?
Well, the paint. Terrible smell.
The first vital clue, and thanks to you, though you didn't draw the inference. Why should he be filling his house with such a strong odour? Perhaps to cover some other smell. Come down here.
The strong room. Oh, it's even worse.
Yes, more areas painted. Now look here. Around the door frame.
Some sort of rubber strip.
It's glued all around the opening, and recently too. And this room isn't merely secure. It's airtight.
Oh, good God.
And down here, on the outside of the door, as unobtrusive as you could wish,
a gas tap.
Neatly greased and ready for use. There. Enough?
More than enough. Turn it off.
If you remember, he had to open the shutter to give you some light.
Yes.
Vital clue number two. Why didn't he turn on the ceiling lamp? Because it doesn't work. The gas pipe just empties into the air.
So he lured them in there, slammed the door on them.
And that was it.
They'd have been out cold inside 2 minutes and dead in not many more. Devilish.
Oh, and I checked at the Haymarket Theatre. Mrs. Amberley's seat wasn't the only one unoccupied that night. Her husband's was empty, too. A nice little corroborating fact.
So I didn't actually miss everything of importance after all.
No, an over-hasty choice of words on my part. I seem to have spent the whole of this case apologising to you.
I suppose you just hid the cash away somewhere.
And the bodies, too. Probably in the well.
There's a well.
Yeah, this house is older than its water pipes. They were added after it was built. So there's definitely a disused well somewhere. Perfect for the job.
That's a nice bit of observation. Especially for the early hours of the morning.
Then you should tell Barker so.
He noticed it? Not you?
No. Not me. Let's get back to Baker Street.
Lunch will be up in a few minutes, gentlemen. That should take the taste of that paint out of your mouths.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudson.
Holmes, I hate to sound like one of my own stories, but there is still one thing.
Doctor?
I can understand why he went to the police.
Well, too much local gossip about the disappearances not to.
Quite. But then, to come to you...
Well, after Lestrade had suggested it, he didn't have much choice. Not he wasn't going to start looking suspicious.
Besides, Doctor, if I might make so bold, it was the perfect cover. If anyone asked awkward questions, he could say, but look at the steps I've taken. I've not only gone to the police...
But even Sherlock Holmes.
Exactly.
Well, I forgive you that even.
Thank you.
It was a masterly job.
I disagree. I was slow. And I was clumsy.
Nonsense.
There. Now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen...
Would you stay here for a moment, please, Mrs. Hudson?
If you wish, sir.
I do indeed. Please, take a seat.
Sir?
Please.
Of course.
Here.
Thank you, Doctor.
You too, Watson.
Very well.
Good. Now, I've something to say to you both.
Doctor? Good morning to you.
Ah, oh, Peterson.
How's the good lady?
In excellent health, thank you.
Good, good. It's going to seem strange round here, sir. You know what I mean? Quite a change.
Ah, it's a changing age, I'm afraid.
It is, Doctor. It is. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor.
Mrs. Hudson. I've just come to say... Well, you know...
Come in, sir.
Mrs. Hudson, what's the matter?
Please, just come in.
I was expecting more mess. Boxes everywhere.
Doctor.
Oh, no. No.
When?
Yesterday. I wanted to telephone, but he wouldn't let me. You know what he's like.
Yes, Mrs. Hudson. I know what he's like.
Oh, Holmes.
Have you ever seen a genuine Stradivarius? I bought it for 50 shillings on the Tottenham Court Road. It's worth at least 500 guineas.
I should have seen through Amberley the minute I laid eyes on him. That telegram device was amateurish and obvious, and I let Barker catch me in my burgling like a rank beginner. And what's more, I put you in considerable danger, alone with a murderer who might well have had an idea that we were onto him.
I can take care of myself.
That's not the point. But surely... No, Watson. There's no joy in it anymore. And besides, a double murderer and an international kidnapping, both on the same day or near enough.
Bowing out while you're at your peak.
Something like that. It's time for the country, and for solitude, and for thought, and for my bees. And it's time to start publishing your stories again. Think of your adoring public.
They're your public, not mine. They don't want you to retire. They want Sherlock Holmes, the great detective, the enemy of injustice, the sleuth of Baker Street.
Then give him to them. Who could do it better?
Holmes,
I have new truths to find. Goodbye, Watson.
Holmes!
Bees. Bees.
Well, good luck and good health to you, my friend. And thank you very much. It's been fascinating.
In The Retired Colourman, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with George Cole as Desire Amberley. Mrs. Hudson was played by Joan Matheson, Mycroft Holmes by John Hartley, Inspector Lestrade by Stephen Thorne, Mrs. Amberley by Natasha Pine, Dr. Ernest by Gavin Muir, Peterson by Norman Bird, Mrs. Cooper by Eva Stewart, and Rory Barker by David Antrobus. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinists were Leonard Friedman and Richard Friedman. The Retired Colourman was dramatised for radio by Bert Cools. The production assistant was Elizabeth Holt, and the director was Enid Williams.